It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Yes. Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
No, you don't.
Kobe, can you count?
Yes,
you,
I can count.
Are you sure?
Yes. We're here. We're here, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
We landed. Yep. Well done, sir. Good afternoon, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. This show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. You can go to WFYI.org for more information on that. We also have a blog, which you can read at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Voice you just heard is a man who will keep his posture straight when he goes to Sun King after the show.
That's right.
One Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
How are you, sir?
Very well.
Cool. And, well, we have one guest that's running late, but we have somebody who is on time.
It's not the black guy.
And, wait. No, the black guy is on time. The other one is running late. But we'll get to her in a little bit. But I think we were talking about this earlier. Maybe one other time where we've had, well, we will have two guests that have their own introduction. So let's start with the one who is here on time. Let's hear his intro.
The blackest brother in the galaxy, Nubian God.
What's a Nubian?
Will someone shut that man up?
Never! Never!
Ladies and gentlemen, Abdul Hakim Shabazz, how are you, sir?
Wow. I just feel the public radio goodness just oozing all over you. Right.
Your pledge dollars at work right there.
I got to write my check.
The time it took for me to get Chasing Amy and 1776 and mesh those together.
And people not think you were insane.
Well, membrane comments, and we're not going to go there. So, how are you?
Doing good, my friend. How are you doing?
Doing okay. Doing okay. You in your own way, was a part of, I think we're calling round one of the Ali Frazier trilogy that is the mayoral race.
Yes. It was interesting. She did better on style. He did better on substance. So, about...
And all the panhandlers are not homeless.
No. But I did see this one cute homeless girl on the way up here. I was like, hey, I could take her out.
Is this the one that called you Radio Man?
No. I always said that there was this... The nice thing about the homeless is that after a date, you can drop them off anywhere and it's no big deal.
Oh, oh. Yeah, that's what he did. Yeah. No, but you did have a woman...
You got 9 comments on Facebook, too.
You did, so yeah. You did have a
yes,
panhandler.
I did have a panhandler. This was summertime, July. I was on my way from one downtown thing to another, running late. And I hear somebody... call out, hey, Radio Man. It's like, huh?
It's like a Robin Harris skit.
Yeah, like, Radio Man! You, Radio Man! I'm like, can I help you with something? Yeah, you the Radio Man on the radio, right? Like, yes, ma'am, can I help you? I'm trying to preach these two young men right here. You could tell they were from out of town because they were wearing short-leaf shirts and a tie.
Oh, did they have backpacks and the good book?
No backpacks, but they had name tags that they were wearing outside.
The name tag brigade. Yeah, that's, you know, big part of our income here downtown, but yes.
Yeah, and so she's like, I'm trying to convince, like, do you believe in helping the homeless? I was
Uh-oh.
Like, well, I believe in helping people who are truly needy, but I think some people are running a scam. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, know what I mean? Saying them all. And
he actually did say that. He does break into Python anytime, anywhere.
And then she says, well, if you don't give money to the homeless, who do you give money to? It's like, well, I try to give to the local charities, you know, like the Wheeler Missions of the world, so I know where my money's going.
You don't put the money in the little boxes that are, no?
Okay. I need to cash to tip the bartenders at Nicky Blaine.
Oh, very good. Yes.
So he's like, well, how do you know what they spending your money on? They could be running a scam too. I was like, well, they probably could, but at least I have a receipt. So
you write it off.
Like, thank you. I was like, and by the way, how would you know what I do for a living? I mean, because the only way you would know I was on the radio is if you, A, had a radio, which means you have electricity, which means you have a place to live, or B, you've seen the website of the radio station on your computer, which means you have a place to plug it in, which means you have a place to live, or you've seen me on television, which means, guess what? You've got electricity.
It wasn't Radio Raheem
with
30D energizers.
No, it wasn't W, you know, XXX, you know, Triple Malcolm Love. None of that.
We'll be the tokens at that station.
Yeah, WNOI. You listen to Nation of Islam Radio.
Hosted by the white guy. Well, there you go. So, well, yeah, this is going to be a fun campaign.
It was going to be an interesting campaign. I was happy to get the invitation to come by and hang out with my good friend, Mr. Sosi.
Well, it's good to have you here now. He's also, it's like, well, we already have Tony Randall. That's Mike Perry. But we have to find a new title. But, no, I gave you about 24 hours notice, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's all right.
Yeah, Ron Glass is more.
Ron Glass was on Letterman's When in Doubt call list.
No, but he was on the new Odd Couple with Lamont.
That is true, DeMa. The Reverend.
With the Reverend. DeMa.
Yeah, so all right. Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. But where's
blah, blah, blah with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, jeez. We're going to start things off. With let's talk about what else is opening. Let's see, we have Courageous, which is all you need to know from the creators of Fireproof. Not into the Kirk Cameron based religious films.
I just want to ask the question: are we at that point? Because when you and I used to do the old radio show together on Fridays,
yeah,
there was always that point right after.
October, a cinematic wasteland.
Yeah, no, it was right after mid September to about maybe a week or two before Thanksgiving.
Where we're I still think August is worse. I think August, early September is worse. Now if you heard last week, which you can on WFYI.org, Moneyball really got the ball rolling. That's kind of the social network for sports nerds, and you don't have to be a baseball fan, I think, to appreciate this film. But also the film that's the big film that's opening, which we'll get to in a little bit, 50-50, I think, qualifies us. We do have grown-up films, but we also just have the high prestige stuff that you're talking about, like The Onion's doing their Oscar-O-Rama preview, which that really kicks in probably October. Mm-hmm. But there's still some stuff in theaters we're checking out. Let's see what else is opening. Dreamhouse, which is what Gina Wagner, who will be here eventually, is going to see, not reviewed for the press.
I wonder why.
I know. Higher Ground, starring and written, directed by Vera Farmiga, for you fans of Up in the Air and The Departed.
Now, does this take place at a college university, Columbus University?
Higher Ground?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not Higher Learning.
Is that a John Singleton film?
No, that's Higher Learning. That's Higher Learning. Oh, speak of the angel. Look who's here. Hi, you were late. Which, so Kobe, it's she's running late.
Yeah,
the black guy's on time. You are not. So
hi there, am I on?
Yeah, you're on. Kobe, play her intro, will you?
Hang on a second.
All right,
hang on a second.
Are you ready?
No, wait a minute. Oh my gosh, so much is going on.
You don't
right
have
now.
It.
So much.
I understand
is
if you don't want to fill
no.
time with my
crap.
Intro. I am
See?
Late.
Oh no!
I got too many folders open here. Where is it?
What's with you in the folders,
Here
Kobe?
It is. Hang on. Listen to this.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
We are Sex Bob-omb. We are here to make money and sell out and stuff.
1, 2, 3, 4. Kim.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we are here to watch Scott Pilgrim kick your teeth in. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Especially Matthew Sosi. I'm going to be putting down my Xbox and my energy drinks to review a mature movie.
And I noticed Gina Wagner of Haunted Flower. Welcome. Better late than never.
Here I am.
Rock you like a hurricane.
Woo!
Yeah, we'll get to your story in a little bit. But
I need to talk to you about the movie you saw.
Sweet.
Yeah, that too. That
what
too.
Have I missed?
Well, let's see. Abdul did some of his opening. Like
some
he's like yeah, Caucasian comedy jam.
Exactly.
And and that's been about it. So you're doing okay. I was
wow.
He was asking when does grown up movie season begin, and it's already starting
because
to happen.
I told him I have this theory that right around early September to about maybe a week or two before Thanksgiving, everything kind of sucks.
But we got Moneyball, we got Drive, we got 50-50, which we'll get to in a little bit.
I got a brand new pair of roller skates.
You got a brand new key.
Ides of March coming soon, too.
That is coming soon.
Now,
so
that actually looks...
I know you... We'll get to it. We'll get to
it. I saw it, but I can't talk about it.
I know
it
you
yet.
Cannot. What else we got? We have we talked about Higher Ground. What's Your Number? The new film with Anna Faris. And but we're going to start things off with 50-50 from the creators of Superbad, which is the two producers, including Seth Rogen, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who we last saw and enjoyed in Inception.
Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, and Third Rock from the Sun, yes. Boy, that's like
Angels
Paul
in the Outfield.
He's got Paul Giamatti's disease. I'm like, he's so more known for just that. And apparently The
now
River Wild. He was the kid
there. Now you're stuck as pig vomit for the rest of your life.
Yeah, pig vomit with a nomination. Yeah. So anyway, but Joseph Gordon-Levitt plays the man in his 20s who... Well, he got the call. He definitely has the results. He definitely has breast cancer. No, he has cancer. Not in the breast.
It's back cancer.
Clip. Back
cancer. Hey, I'm Joe.
And I'm Seth.
We're in a new comedy together called 50-50, where I play a guy who gets cancer.
Which I attempt to cure using a cocktail of sex, illicit drugs, and profanity.
Find out if it works.
Go see 50-50 with your friends in theater September 30th.
I think you're making a big mistake.
What?
Don't do this.
What are you talking
Please
about?
Please don't do this.
You said you liked this
You're gonna
idea.
Look stupid,
You
man.
Said you would
you're
do it.
You're gonna look weird.
Come on, let's just do it. Wait a minute. What do you use these for?
My body.
A tumor?
Yes.
Me?
Yes.
that doesn't make any sense, though. I mean, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I recycle.
How do you feel right now?
Fine. You know, I can't remember being so calm in a long time.
Would you describe what you're feeling as a kind of numbness?
No, describe it as fine.
You're young. Young people beat cancer all the time. Every celebrity beats cancer. Tom Green, guy from Dexter, Lance Armstrong, he keeps getting it.
I'm living in.
No, Mom, no.
I'm your sorry, mother, no. Adam.
But exactly.
You want to make a room?
Oh, thanks, I'm all right.
There's weed in them.
You got a prescription for medicinal marijuana?
No, I got a prescription.
Well, what's wrong with you?
I have night blindness.
We shouldn't have done this.
Yeah, big mistake.
You're using your balls trimmers instead of going to a bar.
I never wash them ever.
Hello?
Hey, it's Adam.
Adam? What's going on?
Probably having a nervous breakdown.
What are your chances?
It said 50-50.
It's not that bad. You were a casino game. You'd have the best odds.
It's what everybody's been saying. You'll feel better and don't worry and this is all fine and like it's not.
You can't change your situation. The only thing that you can change is how you choose to deal with that.
You really think that a girl's gonna go for me just because I have cancer?
For the millionth time, yes!
Great song.
Totally.
I have cancer.
I was wrong.
Nice
it was
to meet
it
you.
Was weird. It's
yeah,
weird like that.
No, that's
it's not
too
it,
soon.
It doesn't sound cool.
No.
Now don't let the smooth taste fool you. And don't let the trailer fool you on this one. It my first reaction after seeing 50-50 was this is what Funny People should have been. And I liked Funny People, not loved it. But this film has the right tone of person dealing with cancer and funny stuff to lighten up the mood.
So this is like a Rick Perry presidential campaign where the previews are the best parts.
Wow. And still more people will see that than The Undefeated. but this was, and of course, with the presence of Seth Rogen, I think folks are expecting a full-blown Apatow experience. Yep. That is not the case in this one. In fact, he's one of the more restrained performances. I mean, he does play the kind of goofy sidekick who uses his friend's cancer to score with babes. Yes, sir.
Is it Seth Rogen doing typical Seth Rogen stuff, only it's toned down?
It's, yeah.
Much toned down.
Less of it.
Less of it.
Because he's not the central
thing. He doesn't pull out his private parts or anything.
Well, yes. Well, that's also a sound clip we should have.
So this is less Green Hornet, more Knocked Up, or?
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, I'd say that.
Somewhere between.
But when also, he's also the executive producer on this, because if you get a chance, you can listen to some of the interviews that were on Fresh Air, which is on next. Here on HD2, but his friend who wrote the screenplay went through this. Yep. He actually did go through cancer. So Rogan was the best friend. So for once, if they had, you know, if they had the billing as Seth Rogan is the best friend, it would be correct. Not Benicio del Toro is Che, or things along those lines.
Or the guy with the mean air gun.
Yes, the mean. No, that would be Javier Bardem.
Same
also
difference.
Very cool. It's not the same difference.
Machete.
They both. That's Danny Trejo. Will you stop that?
No, it's not. He was in Hoffa.
That's Danny DeVito. Should we just go back to Terrence Stamp and Terrence Howard?
Or just be on the bicycle like the electric company?
Yeah, exactly. Gina, your thoughts.
Dan is absolutely right. You guys can go on forever.
We're going to live forever.
We had 7 years to build this shtick, so yeah. You can't just wipe it all the way in 6 weeks.
So now you have a chance to speak. Speak.
I love the movie.
Yeah.
Great.
I did.
Great,
I really
Emma.
Did.
Why?
No, I love the story, and I really love the characters. I especially loved Anna Kendrick, who played the young therapist.
The manic
in the
pixie
movie.
Dream girl therapist.
She's so quirky.
This is her third customer, her third client, her third patient.
Oh, she has a messy car. How cute.
And she's not telling her brother to dump her imaginary high school girlfriend.
Yeah, she's not a snippy.
But yeah, she's fine in this. There's also Bryce Dallas Howard, who is slightly,
gorgeous
and
but...
slightly less evil than she is in The Help. And who else? Philip Baker Hall. There's a couple of really fun scenes with Gordon Levitt and some older cancer patients when they're doing their chemo and macaroons with natural ingredients. So Angelica Houston shows up as the mom. But yeah. Yes, Morticia.
Oh, gosh, you should see her hairstyle in this. You would not even recognize her.
She could be opposite Kathy Lee on NBC Mornings, let's put it that way. But yeah, solid performances across the board. And like I said, just the right tone. It's not an Apatow film, so it's not 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's, you know, good timing on there. And the film title, well, I honestly believe at the end it does reflect that title. You don't quite know, and I'm not going to tell you, how it's going to turn out. But either way, I think they handled it really, really well. So I think folks that are expecting a gross gag fest, they're going to be slightly disappointed. Not punch drunk love disappointed, but it is almost an itchy sweater movie for Gina and I.
And there were a few emotional moments at the end that kind of got me a little bit.
So I think having a lump in the throat and having a little moisture in the eye that's a harder thing to do than to make somebody laugh or to make somebody angry.
So what are the chances for a sequel?
50-52. Isn't that bad vision?
No, 2200.
2200. That's also a possibility.
Absolutely. So Stevie Wonder.
Yes. And, you know, all the children, all the people in the world are God's children. Yeah. Just take the award and get off. All right. So that being said, I think, go see this. Go see it at night. You can pay double digits. This is what we think of 50-50.
Wow, that'd be some good filming there, Mr. Soci. Wow.
What?
It sounds like Sidney Poitier.
Well, that was you.
I know, but it sounds just too neat.
Too refined.
Too refined.
That's you, sir.
I know. That's why I said that sounds too refined.
You wouldn't want to sound like Richard Roundtree next?
Ooh, wee, Mr. Soci, that'd be some good filmmaking there.
Did you get that?
You got that one, right?
That one feels better.
That's the upgraded quote.
Okay, we got two of those. You know what? Side by side.
Yeah, the other one is more like, yeah. You know.
Do you know what it is? It's the house reaction.
Yes, exactly.
The field reaction.
I say it's a rather annoying bit of literature. Cinematic masterpiece, if I must say so myself.
Will you shut off your electronics? is it your wife texting in 3-2?
Actually, no, it's a mutual friend of ours.
Is it Brad?
Yes.
Brad, we're doing a show. Go away. We know you're listening online. we're working here. It is just like your radio show. You know Friday's from 5. We're working here, so jeez.
That's what you call it?
I know. Well, this is, you know, business and pleasure.
Is that why we're wearing party hats?
Yes. That's exactly why we're doing it.
That's why I brought the donkey and the video camera.
Oh. I was wondering what it was doing in the corner.
It's a weekend in Juarez. All right. So the reason why Gina is late was, you know, occasionally there are films not screened for the press. And by the way, if you go to Chris Lloyd's Facebook page and...
I hear it's not hella bad.
Thank you. But no, I can't remember the publication that he writes with, but if you're on Facebook, you can check it out. But he had a nice write-up about films that are and are not screened for the press, and, well, we kind of know how those break up. But this was one that was not screened for the press, but Gina took it in and Dan took it in their hearts to go check it out so they could come back here and report back to you, because this review will come faster than the Saturday edition of the paper or the online edition. So you guys got to see Dreamhouse, and during the movie, what happened?
The power went out.
They didn't
in the
pay
whole
their,
theater.
They didn't pay their bill. Is that it?
I guess so.
And you saw it where?
At the Hamilton IMAX 16.
You couldn't
really?
You couldn't find any place closer?
It happens to be my favorite theater because of the popcorn seasonings. I have a very specific system where I divide my bucket into quadrants of four flavors.
Go on.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, go on.
Oh, do you want to know what the flavors are?
No. How are you dividing this?
Oh, very carefully. I just take my bucket and I just picture the quadrants and then I shake.
Oh, I thought, okay. I thought you had like an actual.
Exactly.
Like the
cardboard
that comes in
fancy.
when you have the three types.
I use my eyes and I guesstimate.
You need to get one of those.
No.
You don't.
I'm really good at guesstimating.
You don't do butter, caramel,
I don't do
and
butter.
Cheese.
Dan, feel free to weigh
in
on this.
I do nacho cheddar, white cheddar, ranch, and kettle corn. And when those have gone down and I can't detect flavor anymore, I take the chocolate marshmallow shaker that's in my purse and I shake that on the remaining popcorn. I told you, this is a very specific system.
We need to do a movie snacks edition of the show.
No, the way to do it is you take like the first third, you put salt on it, then a little bit of butter, then another third, then salt butter, then the fourth third, then salt butter.
You just go behind a counter and take over, don't you?
Yes, because that way you don't have to worry about shaking it up, and then halfway through the movie it goes to like that bland styrofoam.
Well, that's what you have Manolo for.
Dan
you have
leaves the movie in resalts.
Abdul has a popcorn valet.
Chop, chop!
More butter.
Fill this. A little more nacho, please.
Oh, I said diet cherry coke. God, good help us so hot to find these days.
She does this with every movie, Dan?
Everyone.
Everyone. He's saying yes. So, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every week, we do that.
So, and so the power.
At least you don't sneak food in, which I think is stealing.
Yeah, seasoning, so. that's questionable, but that's.
No, I would argue seasoning is actually workable, because seasoning, we all have our own specific taste, but the bulk of the purchase with the popcorn
so
you
if,
have made.
If they
if
had
I go
chocolate
to St. Elmo's
in the theater, I would totally wait for it there, but they stopped stocking
wait
my
a minute.
Flavor.
Wait a minute. It's marshmallow and chocolate,
it's
like
chocolate
separate
marshmallow.
Thing, or they, it is
chocolate
marshmallow?
Chocolate marshmallow is the flavor.
Sorry, Abdul, I think the kids are talking. How you doing?
They
how
used
about
to
you
stock it at my theater, and they don't anymore. They replaced it with jalapeno, which is gross.
Are you sure this is film
dumb.
Sociology?
Yeah.
How about you and I go sit on the stoop?
Or is this cooking with Colby?
I've got a response for that.
It's dumb.
There you go. That's dumb.
We'll just, you know, you young kids, you talk. We'll just sit on the front steps and...
We'll just go out and remember this about
hold
what
on,
we did
hold
during
on.
The war.
Did anyone want to hear about Dreamhouse?
Yes! In fact, we even got the trailer for it. Here's
I've got
do?
It right
yes,
here.
Yes, right here. Here it
I've
is.
Got, oh, here we go.
Oh, God.
Once upon a time, there were two little girls who lived in a house.
Yeah, you're home! You're so beautiful. Stay like that forever.
Hey, Will, come here.
Look at that. Wonder where they are now. Sweetie, are you okay?
What are you so scared about?
There's something out there.
Yeah. What were you doing in there?
You live here and you don't know about the murders.
What murders?
The whole family was shot. The father survived.
Who did it?
The focus came down to the father.
Peter Lord Slaughterhouse.
Everybody who lives in this house gets killed.
How could the neighbors not have said anything to us? The house has been empty a long time.
I need to talk to you about one of your patients.
Peter Ward.
Let's make sure we're talking about the same man. That's not Peter Ward. That's me.
You lived in this institution for 5 years, Peter.
No. We released you 7 days ago.
Oh, I hate it when you leave. Look.
They told me that you're not really here.
What?
You and the girls are dead. Did I do it?
What do you remember?
I left my wife and my family at home this morning.
Who's at the door?
There's something wrong with this house.
You can't stay here. It's gonna kill you.
Peter Ward's back!
Once upon a time, there were two little girls who lived in a house.
Okay, Abdul, I'll just so you know, this is also a PG-13 thriller. Which, could you hear his eyes roll?
It should be more like IQ-13. That if your IQ is above 13, you don't come to this movie.
Now, thank you, Mr. Miller. Now, Gina, this film has some better. You have Daniel Craig. You have Academy Award winner Rachel Weisz. You have Academy Award nominee Naomi Watts. And it's directed by Jim Sheridan, who gave us, on one hand, he gave us My Left Foot and In the Name of the Father, but then he also directed Get Rich or Die Tryin'.
Yeah.
With Mr. Cent.
Yes.
So,
his name is Curtis.
Oh, is he now like The Rock and actually using his real name?
No. But I'm just saying.
It's Curtis 50 Cent Jackson?
Yes.
You know, of course you know that. It's also.
Well, this economy is 50 cents more like a quarter.
That's right. Two bits. So what's the scoop on this, Gina?
Well, from the trailer, I had hoped it was like more of a horror movie, and it's not at all.
Is he the killer or is he
scary.
Memorex? Is it like Shutter Island or the others?
Well, let's just say if you were interested in seeing this movie, I honestly wouldn't have recommended watching the trailer at all, so you could try to work a little bit, but the movie just gives so much away right from the start that there's just nothing hidden.
Can I get you to record that and send me the MP3 file so I can take this to my wife when I get off?
Who's dying to see this?
Who's dying to see this?
I'll just say there's nothing really, really surprising in this movie. He goes through what you heard him go through in the trailer. I love Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz, and I love their relationship on screen. And I got a little girly, a little emotional about the two of them in this movie because they were really pulling me in, but it's just not a very good movie. It's just too obvious, like, everything. And
so obvious direction, obvious in the script.
The script is obvious. You know from the beginning what he's going to discover, and the big question is, did he do it or didn't he?
The father's still alive.
So, yeah, the last 10 minutes is him trying to figure that out.
This is what happened. And he came in through here, and there's a flashback. And then he did this, and there's a flashback. And then this happened.
Yeah. Lots of flashback
credits.
How hard is this?
I don't know. Apparently not very hard, not hard enough.
Yeah, we thought we had it figured out, and we're like, okay, well, we know we're running late. Maybe we should just go now. And then they decided to explain everything. So we're like, okay, we'll wait a few minutes and let them explain everything.
Like
that
Robert
happened.
Forster and Gus Van Sant's Psycho.
So should this be like, so if I get this on Netflix, should I watch Spider-Man or Jaws?
No, I think in your rating system, Abdul, is what film you make your wife watch after having them sit through this.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So save it for a really good one.
I think save it for a really good one. We'll get to actually. It sounds like we're going to revert to an FM edition of Dr. Tsosi Film Therapist a little later on in the show. We'll see. We will see on that. So that's a shame. And you know, there have been actors appear in thrillers. I think when you have people like Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz and Naomi Watts, it adds a little bit of something to it. I mean, we had Tony Goldwyn was even in The Last House on the Left, and Virginia Madsen was in a Haunting in Connecticut. So when you have some actors actually with a little bit of chops, that hopefully helps, but obviously in this case it doesn't save the picture.
They had relational moments I really enjoyed. Daniel Craig had some acting moments I really, really enjoyed. The movie as a whole is not good. They're trying in the movie, but the movie itself
isn't good enough. It's like elementary school sports. These kids try really, really hard
to miss the ball.
I believe them. They didn't write the movie, though.
Okay. Well, I guess, here's how.
So I like Daniel Craig better in Cowboys and Aliens.
I prefer Cowboys and Aliens to this.
Wow. That's one thing. Got that. So here's what Gina thought of Dreamhouse.
Why can't we just see them do cool stuff all the time? I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
There you go. You know, on top of all that, let's take a break and we'll talk. We should probably just slam through the last half of the show on DVDs, Blu-rays, and whatever else pops out of our mouths.
Or
that too. You're listening to
X-Men
Film Sociology. Will you shut up? Film talk show here on WFYI, HD2 The Point, and WFYI.org.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video
Friday
store.
Night.
Yeah, open a video store!
And the video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msosi@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. Our Circle City Classic correspondent, Abdul Hakim Shabazz, is sitting in. He's got money down on, what was it, West Central Tennessee State?
Another black school I've never heard of. Somebody asked me why I never went to a black, historically black college.
Run you out on a rail for being a troublemaker.
I actually get that question quite a bit.
Yeah.
And here's my theory on historically black colleges. The only people who go there are black people who grew up in the suburbs.
Ah.
Because so, you feel like you're missing some ethnic.
So you get
thing,
a.
Like, I don't know, being shot at or a crack dealer or something. So you go to a historically black college.
To embrace your roots.
To embrace
your
roots.
Your academic roots.
Right. And since I kind of grew up in a historically black neighborhood, because everybody there was black, it's like I really don't feel a need to go.
Hang out with Jasmine Guy and the rest of the gang.
Sleep, if I want to be in a room full of black people where I sleep and shower and eat, I'll go home.
And so you did, and you went downstate.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. I want the white college, you know, with the one with the Animal House and Otter.
And John Vernon.
Yeah, exactly.
Double secret predation.
I want Dean Warner, who's also the voice of Iron Man. That's who I want.
And apparently in Animal House, no black folks. Well, there's one black band in Oregon.
Yeah.
Because they filmed that in Eugene, Oregon.
And there
I
was the hand that comes and scoops up the one guy. That's about it.
Ah, yes, that's right. So we'll get on that. Gina Wagner is also here. Before we get to the DVD, I forgot to ask, when did the power go out in the film? Was it a crucial moment?
Oh, it was after they got to the point where they've already revealed to you in the trailer.
So how far into it?
About 2/3.
Wow, even better. That's sad.
So I have to ask, was the movie better while it was on or off the screen?
While it was off, I took time to like sort Sandra receipts out of my purse.
I was going to say,
if
you went back to restock the popcorn.
Your popcorn neuroses?
No, I checked my Facebook addiction.
How long have you done your popcorn habit?
For a long time.
Really?
For probably since we moved here, so about 4 years.
And for those of you just joining us, our popcorn habit is that you know, refresh.
I have four quadrants of flavor.
Meg Ryan and When Harry Met Sally would say, lighten up.
Refresh,
wow.
People.
Wow. So, yeah. Okay. Well, good to have everybody here and what is going to make Indiana Week in Review seem stable.
You're no Ann Delaney. You're no Rex Early.
Kobe, you're not even half the man Jim Shella is. So that's
you're the John Schwannis of our group. Just a guy from Ohio who drives over.
That's me.
No,
that's
you.
Me. I can smell Ohio from where I'm at. Nothing wrong with Ohio so far. All right. So DVD and Blu-rays this week. And yes, it's supposed to be a special movie because they didn't release it on a Tuesday. They released it on a Friday.
Ooh.
In the same vein as the deconstructed Star Wars series, Transformers 3. You saw it, Abdul. How'd you like it?
Wow. Let's see. Transformers, the original film, was a very energetic and innovative piece of cinema that returned those of the 1980s to their childhood while introducing a new genre of science fiction films to a new generation of Hoosiers and audience filmgoers. Transformers 3 was 2 hours and 14 minutes long.
Yes, it was, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like the third of any movie, I mean, you really got to do something different.
Right.
And
no Ewoks in this one.
No Ewoks. Leonard Nimoy.
No Hayden
they
Christensen.
They cut Megan Fox. That's different.
Wait,
they replaced her with a blonde. Never mind.
No, but she had the audacity to say, no, these films aren't that good. She stared at the face of Michael Bay.
She stopped drinking the Kool-Aid long enough to say that?
Probably.
And see, and actually, and Transformers 3 was really bad for me because we all know it was filmed in Chicago. But they pretended like it was in Washington, D.C. Until I saw the interstate sign that said I-88 to Aurora.
I didn't even know they were bothering to call it a different location. I just assumed it was Chicago because I knew it was Chicago.
No, because
I don't know
like,
why they were checking Chicago.
So the D.C. Express, I was like, what?
D.C.?
Yeah.
DuPage County?
Exactly. I'm like, what? And then you see when I saw the I-88 to Aurora sign because I grew up in Chicago with the college.
You recognize those.
Yeah, I was like, oh, God.
See, it's like Gotham City. Well, boy, that looks like Lower Wacker Drive. And when did Gotham City turn into Pittsburgh?
Well, see, but let's go there. About Gotham is they blur at the license plate. So
the pixelated one?
Yeah, the pixelated license plate, so you couldn't quite tell. I mean, it's like, okay, I'm here.
Bigger,
let's
longer,
just,
and louder
yeah,
than
yeah,
the first two.
Let's just get this over with and just...
Well, at
be
least
done with it.
They crushed a big building
that was
strange snake sort of transformer.
Yeah, real thing. I mean,
and they got rid of the Amos and Andy bots, apparently.
Yes, they did.
They got your note.
They needed to go.
They did need to go.
How do you do, Optimus Prime?
And look, those are the Transformers that come in, jumping and bouncing up and down. It's like, oh, great. Thank you. And look, there's one with the gold spark plug.
Saying, yeah, boy.
Like, where's Jesse Jackson when I really need him to go protest something?
Oh, there's several comments where we're not. Is he still working on the office building here? Are they putting the utilities to get the...
Actually, no, he's not. But Al Sharpton, their staff person who's supposed to be working at the National Action
Network.
There's
air quotes when he says staff person.
Because you guys remember, anybody listen to the voice, you remember Brandon Johnson, get him out to the cops, got his clock clean, all that other stuff? Yeah, so Al Sharpton came to town. They paid him $20,000. He's going to open an office. Well, the person who's supposed to answer the phones quit. I guess he wasn't getting paid.
Wow.
And I tried calling him one day, and it's like, hi, you've reached Al Sharpton's National Action Network, but we're not available right now. Please leave a message.
I just envision a phone with no table. It's on the floor.
I mean, here's my thing. I got the Klan burning across on my lawn, and I'm getting voicemail. Really? For racial discrimination, press 1.
First, racial harassment.
For sex harassment, press 2.
If you're light-skinned, please wait on the line.
Yeah. No, if you're dark skin, light skin, wait in line. Dark skin, please press 0. Click.
I'm sorry, we were talking about Transformers, right? Yeah. There's no black Transformers in this one.
No, there's no Transformers 3. Save your money, save your time, save yourself.
There you go.
Oh, and Patrick Dempsey sucks. So.
Thank you for sharing.
I just wanted to make sure everyone knew.
Okay.
I think we've got something for that.
Do we? That's unfortunate.
There's no excuse for that.
But it's this right there. This might... We got that one, right? We got that as well? You keep the longer version of that.
I like that.
I know you do. All right, let's go through some titles, and I guess this poses the question, do you need this on Blu-ray or not? And I think the big title to come out this week, besides Transformers, Ben-Hur.
That was actually on this weekend.
Yeah.
Just one of the movie channels
great
that you never
Chariot Race. Great Chariot Race. And one of my favorite screenplay by Gore Vidal. Chuck Heston didn't know. The other actor did. There's a and I learned this in the Celluloid Closet, which you still need to watch, sir.
Yes, I do.
It is on your list of films to watch. Mm-hmm. Celluloid Closet was a fun documentary about the history of the images of gays and lesbians in cinema. Well, he interviewed Gore Vidal, who wrote the screenplay for Ben-Hur, and there's a few moments with Charlton Heston's Ben-Hur and his childhood friend, and the childhood friend looks at Chuck a little longer than really needs to be.
Claudius Maximus was his name.
not that film. That's a whole other one. And of course, nobody wanted William Wyler, the director, and Gore Vidal weren't going to tell Charlton Heston that the friendship is not quite. They told the other actor, but they didn't tell Heston. So
sorry, Moses, you're out. We're yeah. leaving you out of the loop on this one.
He wishes he knew how to quit him.
Yeah.
But besides that, big old school epic film. Like I said, really cool chariot races. That's a good way to spend half an afternoon right there.
Yeah, but I guess
would you buy it on Blu-ray?
But I guess the question is, does Blu-ray really add anything to it?
If it has lots of, you know, because I'm one of the special feature nerds. So if it's got lots of those that aren't on the DVD, I'd probably grab it.
Yeah, that I would appreciate for a film like Ben-Hur that has, you know, just sort of the majestic cinematic reputation. But
you wouldn't do it for Pootie Tang.
No,
right.
I wouldn't do it for Ben-Him, which
Ben
was the Him. Other Gore Vidal.
Oh, very good. Yes, that's good. All right, so Gina, it's old white guys in short skirts.
I haven't seen it.
We know you haven't. That's...
You haven't seen Ben-Hur.
I know.
Sit down and let us tell you about William Wyler and Charlton Heston.
You really need to see Ben-Hur. Damn you, Caesar. Damn you all to hell. Sorry, I'm getting my Charlton Heston films.
That's quite okay. That's all right. So let's see. That's out on Blu-ray this week. Mimic, the first Guillermo del Toro with Mira Sorvino. No, it's not. Now, this is a couple of weeks ago, Mystery Science Theater put out their Gamera box set, five movies, the five Gamera films. Ooh. Always fun.
Gamera versus Monster X.
That's right. Well, Mill Creek Entertainment has decided to do a Mystery Science Theater-less version and have the Gamera trilogy, because Gamera is friends to all children, as we learn in this film. So
somebody needs to make sure there's an adult in the room when Gamera's there.
Yeah, lots of Japanese kids with the short pants and the Fisher-Price hats. It was weird. Odd.
And there was one Gamera film, I can't remember which one it was, but he's fighting like Monster X, and for some strange reason, they just kept bringing up over and over and over again, yeah, we went to this planet, blah, blah, and there were no accidents. They just keep bringing up that line over and over the whole film. We're like...
And the thing is, I don't remember the names of the monsters because, well, we have things to do. But you know, like knife, but we know by description, knife head, and the turtle, the other turtle.
The star things on the side, so yeah, the stars on track.
See,
here's the thing: growing up in Chicago and Matt growing up in Detroit, for you guys from Indiana, you had your Channel 4, so you had the independent channel that ran the horror films Friday night, Saturday night. So for us, it was called Sunday Svengoolie. They'd run a lot of that.
We had Sir Graves Ghastly or something. But, yeah, but the Gamera films were always a part of that, Zootaphanes. And it was also at the same time, we also had the Kung Fu movies in the 70s. Kind of missed that.
The Five Deadly Venoms.
Yep. Five Fingers of Death.
Yep.
Great stuff. Walls from the younger generation.
I missed the 70s.
Well, as did I. That was BC.
Shut up, Kobe.
Before Kobe?
And the 70s were a different time. That's his way of saying the movie's slow.
Yes.
Jerk face.
You're right, because, you know, not everything can be a Mike Judge film. You know,
hey, speaking of which, Extract is on Blu-ray this week. Yes, finally.
Huh.
So, fun film, underrated. Then again, Mike Judge films just kind of open, and they do okay, and then they get a bigger following on DVD and Blu-ray anyway. This one actually did make, I think it did make a little bit of money, but it's a complimentary piece to Office Space. It's Office Space from the boss's point of view. Jason Bateman plays a guy who runs an extract factory. You got Mila Kunis. You have J.K. Simmons, one of our all-time favorites. And a lot of the familiar folks that come in for a scene or two, like David Koechner and Clifton Collins also is in the picture.
I've got to need to talk to you guys about your TPS report.
No Gary Cole. Gary Cole's too busy starring in the Kerry Collins story.
Just did a commercial.
Gary Cole or Kerry Collins?
Gary Cole. Basically being that same Lundberg.
Oh, really?
Character.
Of course he is.
Yeah, it was State Farm or something.
Yeah, it's like State Farm Insurance. I need to get those reports from you guys.
Yeah.
So I just die laughing. My wife was like, what's so funny about a State Farm commercial?
She hasn't seen, you haven't shown Mrs. Shabazz Office Space?
My wife never worked in an office. She wouldn't get the humor.
Ah, okay. Not even, she didn't work at Tchotchke's?
Nope.
She had no flair?
She has flair, but not that kind of flair.
Okay, all right. So.
I do have Office Space on Blu-ray.
Is there lots of goodies on it? Lots of extras?
Yes.
Okay. Well, now Extract is out. So, yeah, check that out. That's also a lot of fun. Okay, there was a Blu-ray double feature of Nightmare on Elm Street 2 and 3. Not the first, 2 and 3.
Why would you need to see those?
Got me. But maybe the same people that put out The Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions on Blu-ray.
You should never watch those.
No, you should.
Just watch the first one.
You shouldn't watch those really in normal... Dinkavision.
Thank you for yes, we appreciate that.
You guys are on the internet, you can say whatever you want. Beep, beep, beep.
We also have the Herschel Gordon Lewis, speaking of Chicago, Herschel Gordon Lewis triple feature, Blood Feast, 2000 Maniacs, and Color Me Blood Red. Not Color Me Bad, which you used to play on the radio.
That's right, you used to play that on the radio.
But that's out as well. Footloose, because the remake is coming. And
those crazy kids.
And dancing is a sign of the devil.
Oh, look, there's John Lithgow's evil preacher. You know what? You're going to grow up, they get Alzheimer's, and you're going to have the apes take over the world.
Or you're going to hang out with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and be aliens.
25 years from now, you're going to be a judge telling John Travolta to shut up.
Weren't you a woman 2 films ago? See?
Yep.
Yes, there you go, like that.
Do you know the Muffin Man? The Muffin Man.
Yes, Farquaad. That's true. And Dennis Quaid gets to take over that role in the remake. We're all thrilled.
Yeah.
All right. So also out is a double feature of Buster Keaton, Battling Butler, and Go West. Don't know if that has anything to do with scoring inside the paint.
You see, but I don't know. See, but I don't see why. Why would you have a Buster Keaton film on Blu-ray?
If the picture's really good, because I mean, Criterion's put some of the Chaplin films out on Blu-ray. Uh-huh. So if it's a really cleaned up piece, I would consider getting that.
Actually, what I want on Blu-ray.
Oh, this should be good.
I want Birth of a Nation. I want that puppy on Blu-ray.
Of course you do. So you can show it to your students?
Yes!
Oh my gosh.
I want Birth of a Nation on Blu-ray. That is when Blu-ray will finally do me.
That's great, because I want Black Belt Jones on Blu-ray. So that's the kind of campaign that we all take.
You guys, if you've never seen it before, go rent Birth of a Nation. Your jaw will drop to the floor.
Yeah, it will.
You'll be like, oh
it will.
My
yeah, they,
God.
And remember,
and it really kind of.
They used to cheer in the cinema, in the movie houses, when the man came running and riding on his horse.
Yeah, when the Ku Klux Klan shows up and everybody cheers in the movie theater because they're the heroes.
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Yeah.
This was 1913. So.
Yeah. And it was actually, from a technical perspective, the film is actually really good.
Really advanced for its time. Message kind of gets in the way a little.
It's like a Hitler speech. You can admire the technique, not so crazy about the content.
Thank you, Colin Firth.
Thank you. We're here to help. Just like, really, Abdul? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Since
yeah.
this is radio, I'll just explain I'm making a face.
We know that.
See, this is what it was like back in 70s film school, even though we were only 2 years old at the time.
But we would have gone.
We would have went.
We were, instead of juke joints, we were outside college, community college rooms, peeking through the little pixelated glass. You got that message on Facebook,
yes,
right? Yes.
Message.
By the way, yeah, we want to promote. I think it's still running. And even if it's not, it was still a great production. Dracula was being done at IRT.
Yes.
Which we highly recommend. But sadly enough, Abdul was not cast as the wino who talks
Dracula.
To Dracula, which we can't quote. Buy us a drink. Buy us a drink and outside the radio station, and we'll do it for you.
Exactly. Hey, you
let's see. What else is out on Blu-ray this week? A double feature of Harryhausen. We have She and Things to Come, two of the lesser-known films
obviously.
Featuring the work of Harryhausen. Oceans 12 and 13. Kobe, you buying that?
Oh.
12 and 13. 13.
I've got 13 on Blu-ray.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then
when
you don't
it came out.
Of course you did. He likes the Oceans films.
I do. Just stick with 11, but that's just me.
Yeah.
A bunch of people running a scam in a casino.
Mm-hmm.
That's original.
It is.
You love the score as well.
Yes.
Okay. And also on Blu-ray, Heathers.
Why?
Pretty good dark comedy from the late 80s.
Oh, my god!
But you laugh because...
Is that another Molly Ringwald film?
No. That was Winona Ryder and Jack Nicholson III. Yeah. Christmas
What's
later.
Your damage?
With a chainsaw.
Yep.
That's all we can say.
Yep.
And finally, let's just throw two movies together. They're from the same studio and put them out on a Blu-ray double feature. The Princess Bride and Marley and Me. Yeah.
Why?
A nice little fun story about a prince, you know, a queen and a prince and a dog that snuffed. That's a fun double feature right there.
Let the Princess Bride be alone. Doesn't need
Marley. No, don't say that to Carrie Elwes. He'll get disappointed.
Or Andre the Giant. That's the only thing I remember from The Princess Bride.
Andre's
I mom. Love The Princess Bride. That movie is excellent.
So, but watching Old Yeller on top of it, not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
No.
Okay. So, yeah, those are all out on TV and even Blu-ray.
You see, but obviously, but like I said, my thing is, unless you got some really special director's cuts, or there was just stuff that you couldn't release in the original version of the film,
like Citizen Kane just came out with a
now, see,
Blu-ray
that,
thing.
You get on Blu-ray,
exactly.
Because you can appreciate it even more.
Yep.
You know what else is coming?
What
that I'm excited for?
What
Jurassic Park?
The
first one
on Blu-ray. Actually, they're releasing it as a trilogy, but I'm pretty much just going to watch the
Stop
first
at one.
One.
A lot of shots of Laura Dern looking up at the sky.
Well,
and
you know,
Sam Neill.
That's where the dinosaurs are.
And
see,
that's
I had,
a Spielberg
see, I had enough of Jurassic Park 3 when the Tyrannosaurus Rex was running through suburbia and nobody heard anything. I was like, okay, that's it.
Not in my backyard. We don't want those dinosaurs in our neighborhood.
Like, he was in your pool.
Hey, some of our best friends were dinosaurs.
Yeah, my maid's a dinosaur.
And by the way, I thought of you when I found District 9 on Blu-ray.
Yes!
Some of my best friends are aliens.
Yeah. Prawns.
Could be South Africa. Could be another planet.
Could be
Gary.
Could be
Southside.
Yep.
Could be. Let's see.
Yeah.
Speaking of... No, I'm just going to go into
could
this.
Could be the east side of Fort Wayne.
Wow. Kobe.
Got better minds. I got to visit my father-in-law this weekend.
You got another chicken to pick up?
No. Not lately.
Another story we'll tell off the air. Gobi, let's share with everybody. Now, this is from the website Tommy Explains It All.
Yeah.
This is Tommy Wiseau explaining the essence of comedy.
Wait, okay.
Don't we have?
Yeah, we got it.
You got all excited like you were ready to play it.
I thought you were going to give me more.
Yeah, I'm ready. Which one did you want?
God. Play it.
Of course there's difference between comedy and drama. Obviously, it's different words. That's number one. If you want to, let's say you have a scene with a comedy when the person drinking, let's say, just the water, okay? So how the person can drink the water and make this funny. If you drink a straight water, it's not funny, right? What if the person drink the water and everything's spilling in his chin and suddenly go to his pants and get wet? And he doesn't know about it, and he introduced himself to one of the girl. I guarantee you 100% people will be laughing at it. God, I think it's funny, because the guys didn't even realize you have the hiccup. Oh, wow, is it funny? What did I do? Oh, my God, he doesn't know how to talk. Why we call black comedy, it's the same, certain words go over the top, and that's why we call black comedy. And people don't realize that it's funny when somebody asks you, say, how is your sex life? Well, I think it's funny. And it is funny because a lot of people are repeating because it's a funny statement. Well, another statement, two is better than three. Why is that? Well, it's not like something is something new. Well, plus two is better than three. Remember, if you have three people, I'll give you an example. You buy a grocery. Well, for three people, costs much more than two, okay? So you already have a problem with money if you go to a grocery store. If you have a two, well, you can get away, okay? So two is better than three, but not always. What if you build a house, okay? Well, wait a minute. Do you need the two people or three people? Which one will be better? Well, I prefer three people. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm coughing right now. What, is it a real cough or is it by accident? No, it's not accidental. Because I anticipate, I want to do it. And I want you to laugh. So I say, ha-ha, this is a comedy now? Did I make you laugh a little bit? Well, what about this? You want to laugh now or no? So, and you make a laugh, you know, when you see the audience laughing at your show, whatever, you did a good job as a comedian. I tell you right now, because that's the idea about comedy. If you have a good comedy, how they say good comedy, again, how you define good is a question mark, okay? Because I can define this way, somebody else can define something differently. But on the end of the day, we come out to the same conclusion, because why? Because we be laughing, say, wow, this is funny. Let's just laugh, it's funny. Okay, we'll be talking about comedy right now. So for me, comedy is something what I enjoy do it, but at the same time, I want people to actually, if people are laughing at it, that's the best comedy.
Hey, everyone. This is Tommy Wiseau, and you're listening now to Film Sociology at the WFYI Indianapolis.
Thank you, Tommy.
I'm there. So glad he cleared all that up for me, because I was wondering if a comedy is where people laugh at it.
Yeah, and three is funnier than two.
Yeah, I didn't quite get all that part.
That's all right.
I also learned he's good at coughing.
Yeah, and Abdul's just reverted to his technology. He's stupefied.
It's like, all right, Angry Birds. Let's see what you get for this level here.
Gina, tell us what's happening going on over at Haunted Flower.
Haunted Flower is awesome. Right now, we're going to be giving away Bridesmaids DVDs.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
And that's a fun contest, because all you have to do is go to our Facebook wall, facebook.com/hauntedflower, and share with us a picture of a really hideous or interesting bridesmaid's dress. Just something really entertaining.
What about a hideous bridesmaid?
I'd prefer the dress rather than the person, because it's...
Don't go there, Fred Sanford.
Well, there's a reason certain girls are picked as bridesmaids sometimes, so we're not going to go there.
This is... Abdul, you're up to no good, and I'm hoping this doesn't involve your wedding.
Anyway,
that's what's going on.
Okay.
And we've got really awesome costume t-shirts that have capes on them right now if you want to be a superhero for Halloween.
I'm going to look right now.
You could have like a Superman shirt with a cape hanging from your t-shirt.
Uh-oh.
Lazy costume. It's awesome.
No. You've sparked his interest.
Sweet. Hauntedflower.com.
Right,
go shopping.
I was going to go as Barack Obama's successful presidency. That way I could dress like this.
Actually, you could go as Barack 2008 because your hair's not white.
That's right.
Or as Seth Meyers said, he's so old he looks like Louis Gossett Sr. So, Abdul, tell a little bit about your shameless stuff, your post-XNT money-making affairs.
IndiePolitics.org. All the political news and gossip that's fent to print and a lot of it that isn't. What I decided to do was take that dorky radio show that we used to do Monday through Fridays from 6 until 9, and now it's kind of up on the internet. There's no radio show yet, per se, but there's lots of interviews and news and other sorts of things. Plus, people used to advertise Leon Tailoring, Indie Cigar Bar, our sponsors and friends. And we do this little, for those of you who like politics, we call it the Cheat Sheet. It's a little political gossip newsletter. You pay $20, you get it for 3 months, and it's just all the stuff that's going on around town that everybody talks about, but nobody ever says publicly.
Uh-oh.
So it's all written down.
It's all right.
Yeah. Exactly. I take all my cocktail napkins, and every 2 weeks I just start typing away.
Those are also receipts.
Yes, they are. No, but it's fun. And then every once in a while we get to hang out. And by the way, I got to give you a call sometime because I'd love to sit down with you for like a 20-minute just kind of back and forth, and we record and then just throw it up on the internet. And
that's kind of what we do here.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is different from anything
it isn't.
Okay, very good. So, Kobe.
Yep.
I think we're tabling what is Kobe watching because you haven't watched anything.
No,
have you?
I haven't seen. Last thing I saw was I think Love Finds Andy Hardy a couple weeks ago,
chosen by Fair Sweet Bianca, selected. So because you still have,
I've got Celluloid Closet
and On the Waterfront,
Bedazzled.
Bedazzled.
No, is that it?
Yes,
Bedazzled
yes.
And
apparently now you have to watch Birth of a Nation.
What? So you gave me something else too?
Birth of a Nation. No,
and you got to watch Annie Hall.
You should just watch Annie Hall in general.
Oh, Kobe, I've got a prediction of a movie you're going to like coming out soon. I think you're going to like Real Steel.
I don't think so.
Oh.
Are you sure? It's fighting robots.
I'm pretty sure.
It's what? Hugh Jackman prancing around.
Yeah, it's Hugh Jackman Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah.
And it's Disney.
And it's directed by the guy who gave us A Night at the Museum.
Oh.
I'm just waiting for somebody to say, you knock my block off.
Didn't they already try to make a film out of Battleship?
Yep.
Yeah, that's where
we're at. Yes, they did try to make a film out of Battleship.
And look what how that's going for us.
Called Das Boot.
Love Das Boot. 6-hour version. Give me the 6-hour version.
A bunch of Nazis in a shoe, whatever.
No, Nalsies. All right, Kobe.
Nalsies. How was Daniel Craig? And never mind.
Just
tie it all together.
Yes. Kobe, give us some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Gina Wagner, Abdul Hakim Shabazz, Dan, Kobe, good to have you all here. We should try this again. I don't know when, but we should just try this again.
Thank you, Mr. Soucy.
Woo!
All right, so on behalf of everybody here, I'm Matthew Soucy. Go see a good movie somewhere. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.